Obviously, we want to franchise it. We want to service the entire nation. Number one, we only hire people that are out of college or vocational technical school. Usually it's about 900 hours. You should actually make profit. There's a lot of small businesses that are struggling, and that's very true. I've seen it personally in many business people that come to me and talk, and friends. That book is very, very, very important. There are people in construction that make millions, and some can't make ends meet.
The Blue Collar Voices Show.
The answer to last week's trivia question is, approximately 114,000 BTUs of energy, or about 120 million joules. This is also roughly equivalent to 28,746 nutritional calories. Welcome, everyone, to the Blue Collar Voices Show. Today, our guest is Jacob Gutman. Jacob is a CEO of Nellett Handyman LLC. Nellett Handyman Services, the New York City area, offering a variety of handyman services. You can, of course, check out NellettHandyman.com for a list of services, coverage area, and contact information. Jacob, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk about a number of different things. First, I wanted to know, how did you get started in this industry, and how did Nellett get started?
So I actually have another business in this industry. It's a contracting business. And doing that for a few years made me realize that whenever I needed a handyman, I had a hard time getting someone to really care about the small stuff and punch lists. So that's when I decided that I'm going to do something about it.
What's your other business?
The other business is a contracting business. So we do renovations, remodeling, and as probably all the listeners know, and you know, when you finish a renovation, there's a thing called a punch list.
Right.
Which are small stuff that needs to be done and no one really wants to bother with it. And that's a real challenge for probably every contractor or GC. That's exactly what Nellett does. Nellett focuses on small handiwork and we don't do any bigger stuff. No bigger projects. Nellett covers 18 different counties. And we're still growing it. So that includes northern and central New Jersey, New York City, Rockland, Orange, and Westchester counties in New York.
That is impressive. How many years have you been available? When did you start?
We started Nellett 2 years and 2 months. We're still a new, young business and growing.
Sounds like you're growing pretty well. That's awesome. Where do you see Nellett going in the future? What's your overall plan?
Obviously, we want to franchise it. We want to service the entire nation. But as of right now, we're still owner-operating. We cover those 18 areas, and pretty soon we're working on getting it ready to franchise.
That is phenomenal. Leading up to this point, were you the kind of kid that built and made things?
I would say I'm more a business owner than a handyman myself. I would consider myself an entrepreneur more than a handyman. So I was a creator, but not necessarily a handyman, or I wasn't busy that much doing stuff that other handymen are busy doing on their empty time.
Right.
Because most people in this industry like to build stuff. And if they don't have a job, they'll build it for themselves.
Right.
I never owned tools. I was never busy with that stuff. I was rather busy thinking of plans of building a business. What we sell is just the product that we sell or the service that we sell. But my main job here in the business, and that's actually what I do, is I come up with ideas, I solve problems, and build it up strong.
Right. And I noticed that a lot of people that are creators, makers, doers, we don't really have that business mindset. We don't have that entrepreneurial thing. It's more about we focus on the product and this little thing, for instance.
That's exactly why I would say I have no competitor out there, because most people, most blue-collar entrepreneurs don't work on their business. They work in their business. They are busy doing the job itself. I never do a job myself. My dress code is not the blue or black or, you know, I don't wear jeans. I'm an office guy. I sit in an office and then I build a business.
That is totally great. The end result is the customer's being taken care of, and that's what matters.
Exactly.
You've addressed some of these things already in my question list, but what is the largest project Nellit will undertake?
So we consider handiwork as something that one guy can do in less than one day. And it doesn't have another name to it. So example, painting. Painting has a different name. It's not handiwork, it's painting.
Okay.
So we don't do any painting whatsoever, even if it's less than one day for one guy. And we don't do any plumbing or electricity, no roofing. So we do all types of general handyman work, which is light carpentry, light locksmith, assembly of furniture, TV mounting, etc. And everything that can be done by one guy in less than one day, that's considered handiwork. If it's more than that, we would call it carpentry, contracting, renovation, remodeling, things that we don't do.
It's almost like you do honey-do lists on steroids.
Exactly. So honey-do lists is a big part of our business. And then we do punch lists, which is pretty much honey-do lists, but for the contractor. So it's pretty much the same type of work, but it's a different clientele, but the work is the same. So that's pretty much what we do. Or small odd-and-ends jobs. And we also service big chain stores and banks. For example, Target, Starbucks, Walgreens. These are all companies that we service. And in those stores, it's small jobs. For example, hanging up a fire signature or some shelving or removing shelving. Real small jobs that no other contractor wants to do.
And that's because they typically don't have in-house staff that's going to handle this type of thing.
They never have.
Okay. You could have, say, a home builder can build a house. Basically, he would have you come in and take care of all those little small details before the home is actually completely finished.
Yes, and I'll give you a few examples, okay?
Okay.
The home contractor, he's just a contractor. The entire work or most of the work gets done by subcontractors, okay?
Right.
So basically, let's take trimming. Trimming, he has a guy that sells the trimming and then installs it. But then one piece of trimming wasn't done the right way or there's a minor change. The trimming guy, the installer of the trimming, he is already at the next job, $20,000 job. He doesn't want to come back for $100 or $200.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth it. He would rather pay or discount back the $100 or $200 to have someone else do the job. So that's when we come in. We do that with trimming, reframing. A lot of times you frame a house and the customer wants a minor change. Let's say they want an 8-foot door instead of a 6-foot door. And the framer is done, out of the job, doesn't want to come back. That's when we come in.
In a case where you would do that reframing, do you come in, increase the width, completely finish it up as far as the trim all the way around, the sheetrock, everything, so that when you leave...
So usually those changes get done before you even sheetrock, usually.
And if, say, somebody did want to have a larger door installed, let's say they needed to have, say, wheelchair access or something, is that something you'd also do?
Yeah, we can do it. We can cut up a little bit of the sheetrock, take off one or two of the 2x4s or 2x6, and then reframe it and install a door. However, we won't paint it. We would put the trimming back, but they will need to call a painter or paint it themselves.
Earlier, you mentioned trim as one of your examples. People get specialized, like you have somebody that specializes in trim and somebody else might be a framer. How do you orchestrate all of the different personnel that you have for these particular tasks?
Number one, we only hire people that are out of college or vocational technical school. Usually it's about 900 hours on textbook and hands-on. So this gives us, basically, we start off from level 80 or 90. We don't start off from zero.
Okay.
So, and on top of that, we give training to our guys on specific tasks that we do. We have a list of tasks that we do, and we train them how to do it.
And it may not necessarily be the only right way, but this provides consistency for your company on how that particular job is done.
Exactly. And basically take in consideration that we are here to fill a gap in the market. There is a gap in the market that no one wants to be busy with a small stuff. And as a result of that, people's houses are just waiting for someone to take care of the small odds and ends. We are here to fill that gap. And based on that, we train our guys to know what they need to know in order to get those tasks done.
That's totally awesome. I have this question here. Let's just go ahead and take a look at it. You've talked about a lot of different things, but what are the most important things you have focused on to grow your business?
Can you ask it a little bit more specific? Are you asking in terms of marketing, in terms of strategy of how to get a higher quality job? Specifically, on what are you asking it on?
Let's just lump everything together. And if you just had to pick out the most important thing, you'd say, okay, this is really one of my key things that I would focus on to grow my business. What would that be?
To grow the business, I would say there's two parts, which I just mentioned. There's two parts to growing the business. It's the size of the business that you want to grow, but you also want to grow the quality of basically the core of what you do and the reason why you're here. So the reason why we're here is because no one else, as I mentioned earlier, no one else wants to take care of the small projects. Okay. So in order to grow that mission, that we should be able to take care of the small projects and get a high quality job done to be on time, on budget, straightforward, etc. To grow that, we have a lot of work to do internally in the business. And that includes weekly meetings with our people, one-on-one training, counseling, etc. Part of that is what I mentioned, that we only hire professional people that took a course in college or a vocational technical school. That's on growing our mission, that we should be able to deliver it the way we want to. On the other hand, we have growing the size of the business. So to grow the size, obviously, we do a ton of marketing. That's one part of it. And the other part of it is direct sales, which is property managers, facility maintenance, and other companies that we reach out directly and establish relationships so they give us the jobs. That's in terms of growing it in size.
Excellent. As far as reaching a general audience, maybe more of the homeowners, what's the best marketing that you've done for that?
We've done a lot of marketing. I would say social media is a huge part of it. It really depends on which crowd you're targeting. Basically, I would say it's the areas. It depends if it's an upstate or in the city. That varies between local papers, newspapers, magazines, interviews, radio, TV ads. We've done all of that. Facebook, Instagram, Google ads. Let me say this. There's two types of marketing. There's one type of marketing, which is direct sales, which you put an ad out, and that ad results in direct sales. People call you and you get jobs. And then there's another type of marketing, which is called branding, which is more of a long-term strategy to make people aware that your brand exists. So when they need a handyman, they will come to you. So we have done both. And every business owner needs to create a strategy how to get direct sales and how to put some of his money, of his budget, into direct sales so he can actually turn it into sales and make some revenue out of it so he can continue to be in business. But at the same time, there should be a little focus on the long-term branding, because the long-term branding doesn't have an immediate result. It doesn't bring you in money immediately. However, in the long term, it is much cheaper, because basically what it does, it registers by people that you are the brand to use when they need your product or service. And ultimately, you won't need to advertise anymore because they will remember you, versus direct sales. So basically, what is direct sales? Direct sales is an email blast with a 10% off. A direct sale is a mailer with a certain promotion or a radio ad. What is branding? Branding is your logo coming up or your video coming up on Facebook to millions or thousands of people. Most of the time, if you don't have a promotion, most of the time that will be more of a branding strategy rather than direct sales.
How did you become marketing aware? What was your path to this?
So I always liked business and liked to listen to advice of other people. So obviously, when you come to my office, there's a whole shelf full of books about all topics on business, and part of it is marketing. So I always knew a lot about marketing just because I listened a lot. And then when I started practicing what I knew and I made some mistakes, I fixed those mistakes and I learned what I need to do and what I shouldn't do, where it's worth it to put the money in and where it's a waste of money. And that's basically it.
Okay, that's great. Now, the other day on LinkedIn, you had read a book and you were promoting that book, telling us what a great book it was. It was Willing to Fail.
Correct, from Brian Scudamore.
Yes, sir. I would say that you read a lot of books and get a lot of information. Who would be some of the other people that you have read, that you have learned from, that you get motivation from, and education?
I'll give you three books that every single entrepreneur must read. That's my personal opinion. So number one is a very well-known book. Everyone knows it. It's The E-Myth Revisited from Michael Gerber. That's a must read for every single entrepreneur. The second must read is Entre Leadership from Dave Ramsey. It's, I would say, also a must. Let me tell you the difference and what those books cover. The E-Myth from Michael Gerber is basically a deep understanding how a business should be structured. It does not give you specific tasks or principles or certain things that you need to do in your business. It only gives you a very strong understanding how a business needs to be structured. Dave Ramsey's book, Entre Leadership, is a guide on day-to-day operation. He guides you on every single thing that goes on in your business, starting from hiring, firing, treating your employees, the financials, like every single thing that you do in your business, you have guidance in that book. The third very important book to read is Profit First from Mike Michalowicz. I highly recommend reading that book. It's basically how to structure your financials so you should actually make profit. There's a lot of small businesses that are struggling, and that's very true. I've seen it personally in many business people that come to me and talk, and friends. That book is very, very, very important.
Those are three great recommendations. As you've ran your business, have you had any particular struggles you'd like to cover? Anything that just was just frustrating that you had to work through, but you overcame, and now you're better for it?
I mentioned this already, but I'm going to cover it a little bit deeper. So basically, I mentioned before that we only hire people that took a course in construction and vocational or technical school. That wasn't so from day one, and we struggled a lot on that. From day one, I knew that I want to have the highest quality jobs done with our company, and especially people need to understand with construction or remodeling, etc., your customer, the person that buys your product or service, they don't know what they're going to get. So when they buy, they don't see what they're buying. They buy on trust.
Right.
And the same is with you. When you sell, you don't know what you sell. You sell based on vision, based on imagination. Okay? When you buy something in the store, you see something on the shelf, you see the product, you see what it is, you see the price, you buy it, you take it home. It's very simple and easy. But as I said, with construction, it's very difficult. Taking that in consideration, it's very important to deliver a high-quality job because you never know the expectations of the customer and you want to satisfy every customer. So I always knew that I want to be able to deliver a high-quality job. But when we first started, I hired people, and how do I know if they do a good job? I look in their resume. I ask them if they have experience. And if they have experience and I call their previous employer and they give good information and I hear good things about them, then we hire them because we think they're good and we believe they're good. But the matter of the fact is that everyone says that they're good, but not everyone is really very good, and not everyone has that much experience. And even the people that have some experience in one area of the business, and one, let's say they know trimming or they know furniture assembly, then they won't know framing and all the techniques of installation of windows and doors.
Right.
I wanted to get people that really know what they're doing and understand. So it took us a long way until I figured out that taking people out of college would be a good plan. And then we had a very hard time establishing relationships with the career services from those colleges. So basically how it works, every college has an office called career services. The reason of the existing of that office is because they want to be able to tell future students that come to my college, because 98% of our students get a job in the first 90 days. So that's why they have office career services, and they're busy finding jobs for their graduates. So basically, there's a lot of colleges and a lot of courses, but in construction, there's not many. In the entire 18 counties that we service, there's only 4 colleges that offer construction classes. And this year, only 3 of those colleges actually had the class. One didn't have the class because they didn't have enough people to sign up. So we had 3 colleges that gave courses on that, and there's so much construction going on. So it's very hard to find real good people. So the very hard thing was to create a very good relationship with the people in the career service department and make sure that we get the best people.
Right.
This was one of our big challenges.
I can understand that. So you had to work to make sure you had a good pipeline so you could grow your business. One of the things that I've been reading about is that the job market, it's very hard to find people that's working in the construction industry. What do you see as long-term? Is this the right kind of career for people to go into? Will it be rewarding? Will it be financially viable for somebody to target this industry to raise a family?
It obviously depends how you do it. There are people in construction that make millions, and some can't make ends meet. It really depends how you approach this and what you do. On the other hand, the people that are blue-collar and like handy and, you know, any type of construction, they have a passion for their work. I would say you get born with it. We provide our vans and tools, but some of our people ask permission to bring their own tools because it's their baby. They have a passion to work with their tools. I didn't see this passion in any other industry other than construction. The people that do construction, they love what they do. So your question is, if someone should take this career, such type of career, obviously, if you have a passion to it, do it. But make sure to do it the right way so you can make a living out of it.
How would they do that to make a good living? What would be the best process for them?
So first, they need to determine whether they should be an employee or employer. They should own their own business, or they should work for someone else. And they know that they have the passion for it, but they need to make sure they're good at it and they can get a high-quality job done. Most times, those people that can do a high-quality job, they will get much better paid jobs. On the other hand, if someone has the proper skills to go in business for themselves and they think that they can build it up and scale it, that they should be able to make a fortune or at least some nice money from it, then they should try to do that, definitely.
Well, that is great, Jacob. I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show, and I'm glad that you're succeeding, and I'll be watching you on LinkedIn. Before we get off of here, is there anything else that you'd like to say?
No.
That's all good.
I always tell people, ask me a question, ask it specifically, and I'll answer that. I have answers on every single question.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was just great being on the show, and thanks for having me. And if you have a question, call me, reach out to me. I'm on LinkedIn. It's very easy to get in touch with me. So to all of you out there who listen to the show, if you have any questions, if you want my advice, I'm here to help. Jacob Gutman on LinkedIn. You can email me, jacob@nailithandyman.com. And if you are in our coverage areas and you want to use our service, our number is 855-562-4548, which is 855-5-NAIL-IT. Or you can email jobs@nailithandyman.com.
That is awesome. I will definitely be providing show notes that includes all this information. And thank you so much, Jacob.
Thank you, John. Take care.
Today's trivia question is, how much grass does a cow eat every day
assuming grass-fed. Next episode of the Blue Collar Voices show features Nathan Toomey, president of Gull Lake Glass. Nathan started as a young man and has built his business successfully over decades. Listen to this short snippet from the recording with Nathan.
Really, nothing has changed from the time I've started. I've hired good people to take care of certain aspects of the business, but I guess a typical day for me is I wake up about 2 o'clock in the morning or so, ready to go to work by 5, 6 o'clock. I get to the shop. I put a couple hours in at the shop itself, doing paperwork, sending out estimates, so forth like that. And then from there, I head out to the field with the guys. And
I'm looking for more good guests. Perhaps that is you or someone you know. There's a guest sign-up form on the Blue Collar Voices website, and I would love to talk to you. Visit bluecollarvoices.com/guest and fill out the guest submission form. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Blue Collar Voices show. On this episode's page on bluecollarvoices.com, you will find show notes and any relevant links. If you are not subscribed to get notifications of new show episodes, you can do that at bluecollarvoices.com as well. Hey, let me know what you think. I'd love to hear from you. See you next time.
I'll be back.